Hello and welcome to this podcast, which is brought to you by Nedbank Retail Investments. My name is Angelique O'Day. I'm a personal finance journalist, and today I'll be chatting with Sisandile Sikido, who is Head of Retail Investments at Nedbank. Today we're getting really practical and unpacking how to successfully manage your financial portfolio for growth and or security. Sisandile is going to give us some hardworking tips, so buckle up, maybe grab a pen and paper to jot down some notes. It's going to be super useful and inspiring. Now, I don't know about you, but I find the words financial portfolio a bit intimidating. So let's start there, Siso. What is a financial portfolio, and why do we have to be thinking about growth and security? Isn't that our financial advisor's job?
Hi, Angelique, and hi to the listeners. Thank you for having me, and thanks for this great conversation. I would agree with you. A financial portfolio sounds like something that an asset manager deals with, and he's serious, and he's making calls, and he's got a screen full of graphs and checking out the markets, and it sounds so intimidating indeed. But for me, what a financial portfolio is like a game plan, having a financial game plan, just as you would if you were a coach of a local soccer team, even a kiddie soccer team. Not everyone on the soccer team is a striker. Not everyone is a goalkeeper. Not everyone is a defender. But a strong balance of those different types of players in your squad of, what, seven players, gives you a fighting chance to score goals and to actually win a soccer match. Similarly, to your finances, not every investment class is going to perform in the same way. It's not meant to. Not everything is going to give you instant returns or even long-term returns or greater long-term returns. But that's how it's supposed to be. So I also liken it to lots of eggs in a basket. Some eggs you want to bake with, the others you want to fry, the others you want to make sunny side up, scramble, or do whatever else with them. Others you want to give away if you want to. But that basket has the same eggs, lots of those eggs, but with myriad of different sort of purposes for whatever it is that you need in your life. Similarly, your investments and your savings and your portfolio or game plan is meant to speak to various life stages and needs to secure your future. And future can be anything from a month to 10 years to 50 years.
I love this language, Sisa, a financial game plan. I mean, that's critical, a game plan. As the saying goes, a failure to plan is a plan to fail, and no one wants to fail at life. But failure is our destiny if we don't plan and set goals, which is essentially what planning is, working towards something. See, so it's often said that it's not so much about the amount of money that you save, but the habit of saving that's critical. I get that the habit of saving is critical, but really, surely the amount, the quantum of your savings is key. But can you talk to us a bit about that, please?
So definitely, Angelique. I think the point around the psychology, I call it the psychology of saving. The psychology of wanting to take a little bit and put it away is the first step. In our industry, we see a lot of individuals who earn a lot of money but are highly indebted, and lower income earners who are actually extremely disciplined in savings, whether they save their money in the form of a stock file or a burial society or grocery coupons. People are saving with the little bit that they have. So I think the concept of saving is definitely not linked or akin to how much you earn. To your point around how much you save and the impact thereof, yes and no. I think putting a little bit away as a practice, a general practice, could give you greater returns depending on where you put that money, because there is that amazing thing called compounded interest. Right? So if you take, and it depends, what do you call little? What do you call a lot? So, I mean, you have access to unit trust now from 250 to 500 rand a month. And if you take 250 and put it away in a unit trust tax-free investment, and you have hypothetically 30, 40 years of doing that, and you continue to increase your contributions, I can't tell you that at the end you are not going to be making quite a significant sum of money. And I think where you have a lot of money and you have more to put away, and depending also on where you are in terms of your life curve and your life journey, the older you are, you're probably going to have to put more away because you don't have that much more time in terms of earning an income. You're probably going to retire very soon, so you want to be more aggressive in terms of putting things away, but you'll be less aggressive in terms of the risk that your risk appetite or the risk that you're willing to take with the money that you put away, which is quite different when you're younger. So I would say if you start with a little bit, you're definitely going to end up with more. And it's very important to classify those different savings. So if you're taking 10 Rand and 20 Rand, 50 Rand and putting it away in a pocket because you know, a savings pocket, because you know that, you know what, I want to earn some interest on my money. I don't just want it to sit in a current account or a normal savings account where I'm not really earning that much. You take it and you put it in a pocket. You know that you're putting money away for an emergency or a somewhat of a rainy day. You hit a pothole. Unfortunate, I don't know where you live, but I live in Joburg and we have lots of potholes where I live. You hit a pothole and you have to replace a tire. You don't need to tap into any kind of debt to replace that tire. Similarly, if you're taking money and you're putting it away for, I don't know, for school fees, or I love to travel when you can travel. So I'm really looking forward to getting fully vaxxed. So that's a bit of a planned saving goal for me, where I put money away instead of accessing credit. So I think it's very important that we take our money and we look at our financial game plan and classify our savings and investments according to goals and various life stages. Equally, I would take money and put it away for my retirement. I'm nowhere near retirement, but I know that time goes very quickly. And like I said earlier, the magic of compounded interest. If I start now, I'll be in a much better position years to come.
Thank you, Sisa. That was a lovely full answer. You've spoken about diversifying when you chatted about the various eggs, and you've touched on emergencies. You hit that pothole, need a new tire. You've spoken about savings goals. One thing that concerns me is that in the industry, we often use the terms saving and investing interchangeably, but we know that there's a big difference between saving and investing. Can you speak to that distinction, please?
Angelique, I think you're 100% correct in terms of how these terms are used interchangeably. And we've actually gone to clients and asked them, what do you consider to be saving and what do you consider to be investing? And a lot of our clients have come back to say, you know what, when I save, and I'm aligned to this thinking, when I save, I'm kind of putting money away for either my tire purchase or my holiday or something that might happen in the short term. So I'm not really looking for a return, but I say to those clients, even when you are saving and putting money away and classifying it as, I don't know, I have a savings pocket, for instance. I've got various savings pockets with Nedbank, obviously. Various savings pockets where one is a December groceries pocket, because I come from the Eastern Cape. Come December time, I'm probably going to go home, like the many migrants who go back down to the coast. And I'm responsible for a couple of things. One of those things being groceries, buying groceries or buying Christmas clothes, etc. for relatives. So instead of having to tap into credit, I am saving for that. I'm saving for that. I also have another pocket, and please don't judge me. I call it the soft life pocket, and I don't know how close you are to social media terms, but there's this new term amongst the youngins, I call them, the youth, and they call it soft life, the nice things. So everyone really likes nice things, and you want to be able to buy certain things when you see them. But I don't want to tap into credit, and I don't want to tap into the money that's in my current account, because it means I have not planned for that sale. If it's 50% off, it's actually 50% more expensive for me who hasn't planned for it. So my soft life pocket is for when I do see something nice that I want to buy. So I'm saving for things. Yes, I'm not going to earn exponential interest on those savings pockets, because I can access them immediately. I can access them at will. So if I do hit that pothole, I'm able to buy a tire. However, when I'm investing, I'm talking about my future. I'm talking about anything that's over, I would say, 12 months, even 60 months. So anything over 5 years, I'm looking at it as a long sort of term plan where I want to make sure that my future self says high five to CISA for starting that journey. So I'd look at various engines like your tax-free savings. If you don't have a tax-free savings account or a tax-free sort of investment, you really need to consider it because it's one of the very few vehicles that at the end of the term, you are going to be able to access funds without having to pay tax. Obviously, if you contribute within those parameters, etc., that is when you're not going to pay the tax. But it's a really awesome savings vehicle for you and your future. Retirement annuities, even say property, investing in property, you know that you're not going to make a lot of money or you're not even going to make any kind of real returns in the short term, all things being equal, that is. So that is for me, my investment sort of game plan. And that is for the long term. So where I'm looking to reap in the far future, in the future of over 5 years, and I want to earn money and interest on that, and I don't want that money to be sleeping, proverbially, that is what I would consider then investing.
Thank you for that, CISA. You and I are kindred spirits. I was born for the soft life. I love your saving for soft life spend, which you do so that you don't have to get into debt for that stuff, which is absolute folly, but unfortunately, it's a trap that way too many South Africans find themselves in. So my question to you is, if you have debt, should you be investing or should you be paying off your debt?
Ooh, Angelique, that is a tricky one. So I think it depends on the type of debt, right? If you are in short-term debt, and that I mean short-term loans, credit card debt, revolving credit access, etc., you find that those agreements usually have very high interest rates, right? Because you can access the funds pretty quickly, etc. So if you are going to be paying interest on 100 Rand, that 16%, versus earning less than 3% on that 100 Rand, I would say tackle that debt and tackle it quickly. Take money, put it in that debt, and try and get that debt squashed as quickly as possible. And if you say to me, but CISA, I've got 5 types of different short-term debts. I've got a credit card, I've got a personal loan, I've got a store account, I've got whatever it is, I would say look at the one that's costing you the most. I.e., what are you paying the most interest on? Pay that first. And I'm not saying neglect all your other debt, but give those, the other ones, the minimum payment, and this one with the highest interest, put a little bit more in it every single month. And that will help you clear the interest pretty quickly. And once you're done with that, take the money that you were putting towards that debt and tackle the next debt. But if you're looking at long-term sort of debt, which is inverted commas, good debt. And I'd say yes, good debt. Things like your mortgage. The average South African is going to take out a mortgage for 20 years. I think if you're doing well, you probably pay it off in 7. You cannot afford to not invest for 7 years. To our earlier point, the beauty of compounded interest, right? I would say to you, find a way of clearing your short-term debt so that you can allocate those funds, if you are strapped, to your investments while paying off your longer-term slash good debt, right? And if you do have a little bit of extra, 100%, please ensure that you are investing even though you are paying some of that debt. But do tackle your high-interest-bearing debt first.
Thanks, CISA. Absolutely. A reliance on short-term debt is a debt spiral. Once you're in, it's extremely difficult, though not impossible, to extract yourself from. Thank you. Sisandile Sekido, Head of Retail Investments. What I'm taking from our chat is, number one, set financial goals. Get that financial game plan into play. Two, if you don't already have one, set up that emergency fund today. It's really very simple. As you said, CISA, a pocket attached to your bank account is all you need, with a debit order of as little as 100 Rand will give you 600 in 6 months, which is the cost of a reasonable tire. Three, nail that debt, even if it means paying an extra 50 Rand towards that credit card or store account, that account, whichever has the highest interest, do it. because debt is borrowing from your future earnings and you don't want to be doing that. And lastly, do not delay investing. Just ensure that you diversify your investment and invest for your retirement. An old age social grant of 1,890 Rand a month is nowhere to live. Thank you, Sisa.
Thank you, Angelique, and I think you've summed it up perfectly. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, and I hope that our listeners will take these tips to heart.